thank you, God, that we sing and rejoice in the beautiful name of Jesus. And thank you, God, that we know that all power is given in that name. Thank you, God, it's the name above all names. It's the name wherein all men must be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you brought us. Thank you for the power of your love and the power of your blood that has brought us here this morning. Thankful sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Thank you, God, that we're looking only to Him. Thank you, Lord, that we know that He is for us. And thank you, God, that there's a meal prepared for us today. And thank you, Lord, that you've invited us and welcomed us. And Lord, thank you that you called us. God, thank you that you've chosen us. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, wake us up to your great love this morning. Lord, let us be thankful people, rejoicing. God, grateful for that work on the cross of your Son. Lord, help us to rejoice in that cross this morning. God, help us to rejoice in all the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. And in that name we give you all the praise. Amen. Praise be to God. If you'd open up your Bibles with me today, we're going to Revelation chapter 19. And thankful to God for that precious book of Revelation. And we're going to start off where it says, after these things. And boy, there were a lot of things that happened after these things. But I'll tell you, the main thing that had happened at this time, it's deep into the tribulation, that seven-year period of time. And they're watching the destruction and the smoking of Babylon. It's a mighty time. See, we're reading of that, even Timothy, how that starts and how it continues on. The love of money is the root of all evil. Can you imagine that? And it really is. And this is the epitome of it all, this great city Babylon. Oh, it had riches. It was so increased with things it had no need of God. Wicked. God's going to let it be made known. And oh, the sudden destruction. And oh, how the merchants cried as they looked. And oh, that great city, it's gone, it's gone. But hallelujah. You get to chapter 19. And you realize all that precious work that was going on in the saints. There was a gathering. Started from the first trump. Praise be to God. There went the bride. Then a little bit later on, here come the innumerable multitude. And then the 144,000, and here we are. We're gathered for an event. The moment of moments. And here we go in chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth and her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God. Oh, they're a worshiping company, aren't they? Those two companies there that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of that throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Well, that was a sweet company with that voice. Praise him, all ye servants. And here come the servants to answer. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And here's why. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. See, he did it. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, I want you to turn the page with me and thinking about her wife. And this is another period of time that we go forward. as everything is wrapped up, that old Satan, all of that sin and death thrown and cast into that lake of fire, hell itself is in there now. Hallelujah. In verse 9 of chapter 21, it says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." The bride, the Lamb's wife. "And he carried me away in spirit to a great mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Now, I think it's out of the bag today. I'm led to talk about the bride. Amen. But I want you to know this. This isn't just any bride here. This is specifically the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that's a precious, precious difference, brothers and sisters. See, as the word of the Lord tells us, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. There's a calling, isn't there? Come out from among them. But you come unto him first, and then you go unto him without the camp. Camp's a wonderful place. Beautiful. Family. People of God. But see, you got a God that's into intimacy right now. A better thing. Remember how we talked about that earlier on? A better thing. Come unto me out from among them. Out from the camp. This is some exciting stuff, brothers and sisters. The word of the Lord tells us there are virgins and then there are chaste virgins to Christ. It was so sweet as the Lord's been dealing with my heart about so many things. And God, he's just so in the little things. And back in the office, and those that might be visiting, there was a sweet brother who the Lord so touched and continued to just pour out Paul's gospel in his heart early in the 1900s. And his name was Copley, Brother Copley. And befriended Brother Hill and was a great encouragement to him in the things of God. And he had sent Brother Hill pictures of himself throughout the years and different things, and we have them back in the office. And I was going through them and trying to put some different things away, and on one of the pictures, on the back of that picture, it said, "Brother, do you think that the bride could be a body within a body?" Do you think? Oh, thank you, God, it touched my heart. Even the word bride in Greek, I don't want to get cerebral on you. This is just joyous, okay? You don't need to know Greek. You just need to know the heart of God. But even that word in the Greek, yes, bride means one that is to be espoused to a husband. But it also means daughter-in-law. Double portion. Amen. Rejoice. Know these things. Let them just sink deeply into your heart. See, you're a double portion to the Father. If you'll take this, daughter-in-laws. Hallelujah. Now, brothers and sisters, this is so wonderful because Paul spoke of this so sweetly. Back in Philippians chapter 3, he had known the Lord for 30 years about that time. And he says there in the third chapter of Philippians, he's still saying, "If by any means I might attain to that out resurrection." Paul was looking for something. He pressed, he reached for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And yes, we do rejoice in these things. And by God's grace, I hope we rejoice the much the more every moment in these things. But there was a calling out. It's always been there, brothers and sisters. This precious message was proclaimed from the very beginning. A calling out there was Adam. And in that type of him, they knew that it wasn't good for him to live alone. But this was a type and a shadow of Christ and his bride. And there was a sleep that was caused upon Adam. And out of Adam, just a tiny little rib portion, there was taken out a bride for him. Do you think, brother, that bride could be a body within a body? Praise be to God. The eyes of our understanding to be enlightened in these things. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, brothers and sisters. The sleep that's on the church today, God's precious people, a slumbering. And the thief is coming in the night. And he's going to take out from them a people for his name's sake, a bride, yes. Praise God. No wonder she's alive, as it says. And them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, forever to be with the Lord. They're exact, aren't they? The love dots of Christ, how beautiful over and over in the Word of God. Whether it was the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, she excelled them all, the Shulamite in Song of Solomon. She's the mature one. Praise be to God. She's got a little sister. She's from the family. So much potential. But she's not anywhere near ready to get married. She's just a child. Amen? We understand these things, brothers and sisters. The New Testament, Romans 8, couldn't be any more clear, as it says there so sweetly, that when we're born again, when we've accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, praise the Lord, we're children of God. And as children of God, we are heirs of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. These ones born into these rich families today, they think they got something. That's something that's going to pass. If you know Christ as Savior, you got a father. Oh, and he's rich. But as great and as incredible as that is, it did not end there. Yes, if children, you're heirs, and joint heirs with not God, but Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. I'm looking at some couples that have wed that are joint heirs of what they have. But there is a caveat with that. There is a condition. If so be that ye suffer together with me, that ye also will be glorified together with me. I'm glad it took your breath away. It did mine too. And that's just for starters. We could go to every portion in Scripture, and this will call out the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, see, I mentioned it earlier. There's a time of year which happens to be right now. A lot of weddings. And I see quite a few brides to be. And oftentimes there are brides that are caught up into being a bride. Caught up into being a bride. How they look, how they dress, or what the dress looks like. Maybe the invitations, who's on the list that's coming? The flowers, the musicians. And let me tell you something, I'm not making light of that. That's exciting in itself. But brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to make a point here today. His bride, the Lamb's wife, is caught up only into one thing, and that's Him. That's Him. She does not care how she looks. She understands that when he looks at her, she's a 10. Come on now. You got to get back there in the Song of Solomon. You know why she missed him at the door, don't you? She was trying to fix herself up. I got a specific time I'm coming, he's telling you right now. And you got to quit worrying about fixing yourself up. You're a 10 if you'll just take it. I love you. I love you. I love you. Take my grace upon grace upon grace. It will transform you. And that's all I'm looking at. For you are my workmanship. Brothers and sisters, her vision isn't about how she looks. Her vision isn't what am I doing or anything else. Her vision is only to behold his lovely face. Praise God. That's the transforming. See, as you look into the face of Jesus Christ, you know that you're transformed into his very image. That's what it says in the Word of God as we look into him, as we look into the Word of his grace. As that enters into our life, it builds us up. It transforms us from glory to glory into the very image of Christ. How awesome. And brothers and sisters, what we've been reading today, which is so apparent and true, his wife hath made herself ready. She's living right now as his readied wife. See, she doesn't just get to heaven and somehow grow into that. She's fully mature right now. She's adding to the usefulness of the husband right now. That's what vessel means. Adding to the usefulness of the husband. It's awesome. Every little detail in the Word of God is so incredible. Let him wrap your heart around it. Enjoy it. Enjoy his wooing and his proposal, the intimacy. You talk about a courtship. It's incredible. That's why I encourage these kids a lot of times, oh, we're going to get married. I said, well, get engaged for a while first. It's so incredible, isn't it? Engagement time is beautiful. I know you want to be together, but take time. We're in engagement time. I got me a ring. And he said, hold that fast which thou hast, honey, that no man take thy crown. And if you know the word of the Lord, why is he telling you to hold something fast? You know salvation is done. It's guaranteed. Praise be to God. I cannot be separated from the love of God. So what am I holding fast? That crown of righteousness, praise be to God, the exalted rank of righteousness. Not that we're competing here, brothers and sisters, no. I want to win him because he loves me. I'm holding this ring, hallelujah, it's on me. He's given it to me. Now, she's a readied wife. Now, she's like those five wise virgins. They have oil that's running over in their lamps. Their lamps are full of oil. You talk about songs in the night, that's it. They don't slow down in the night. We got oil in the lamp. Keep me burning. Fiery ones. Isn't that amazing how he does this stuff? He orchestrates it all. We don't get together beforehand, you know. He does it all. Matter of fact, I was late today, but he was on time. Praise be to God. He's so wonderful. But see, you had the five wise virgins that had oil in their lamp as opposed to the five foolish virgins. They were virgins. They knew what was going to happen. They had an idea what was going on, but they were too caught up into other things. They had every bit as the same potential as the five wise ones. Do you know that? Every bit the same potential. But they did not occupy as his readied wife. They didn't treasure that time. That wasn't the first love. Amen? Flirting with, distracted with the things of life as opposed to tending upon him. Without distraction. See, I'm telling you, brothers, when you enter into being married, you want someone who loves you. Yes, you do. That's the only thing you want. You want somebody who loves you. See, these five foolish ones, they didn't captivate the heart of the Father. Do you realize the story that's going on here right now in this age that we live in? It says the Father is seeking, he's searching for the true worshipers. Now plug in what worshiper means again. The ones that draw nigh unto him, his son, in fervent love to kiss him. See, he's a father-in-law. He's a father that loves his son. And he wants the best wife for his son. And he's seeking her. He's searching for her. And he sent the Holy Ghost to woo that woman at the well, taking all the things of him and giving them to her. Will you listen? Will you take this? Will you go? That worship him, Jesus, in spirit and in truth. That's who he's searching for right now. That's the time. That's the better thing that's offered to us right now. And to awaken and to come out. See, these aren't things that are hard to be understood. They're apparent. It's the picture within the picture. It really is. Hallelujah. And it's jumping out to us all the time. I'm going to have a bride and I want it to be you. Yes. See, these are ones like Rebecca and Esther. Yes, they're the ones that took only and all what the servant or what the master had. They didn't try to figure it out cerebrally. What am I going to take? What am I going to do? You need to be just like Esther. You don't know a thing. That's a great place to be. Orphan child. You don't know anything. And yet you're highly favored, honey. I brought you in the palace. And the only encouragement you have, honey, is you just take everything that chamberlain, that one that's going to get you ready for the king. Don't you listen to anything else. You just listen to him, honey, and you got it all. It don't matter what your pedigree was. It doesn't matter anything about that background. It doesn't matter. We don't even know where you came from anyways. All you know is you're here. Isn't it awesome? That's you. Do you understand that? That's you. You're here. Quit trying to figure out how he did it. It's just grace upon grace upon grace. It's his promises. This is what he wants. I would that all men be saved and come to the full, complete, exact, intimate knowledge of the truth. Man, I didn't know he was going to preach all this to us today. Love, brothers and sisters. Love. See, that's why those five wise virgins, they were ready for a wedding because they had vessels full of oil. They were vessels full of love. That's what the oil is. It's love. Upon love, upon love, upon love. There were two glowing things that God brought to my heart in really thinking about this. And thank God what he brought out this morning already. But about that readied wife. And we'll close up pretty quick with these, so stay on it. May he quicken you alert and alive and awake today. But I'm so thankful for these two attributes about this readied wife. Because I'm thankful to God that by his grace, I've seen them in type in my mom and in my wife. Now, again, thanks be to God, I've seen them in other places. Praise be to God. But I've spent some years with my mom. And then she handed me off to my wife. I went from my house to another house. There was never a tweener. I told you, high maintenance. My brothers and sisters called me fungus. So, did that slip? All right. But you see, the first one was that they loved their husbands. They just loved their husbands. See, just as I am, I love that song. But just as I am, it works both ways. It really does. And I want you to hear what the Lord is encouraging today. See, she didn't marry me to change me. That was hopeless. She couldn't. Only God did.
But you know, some brides, that's what they do. You know, I'm going to marry that man and I'm going to change him into something I really like. I'm going to mold him and make him after my will. No, I just... All right, sisters, I'll get letters for that. I know it. But you see, this bride, the Lamb's wife, the readied wife, she realizes and rejoices that he is altogether lovely. The Word is perfect. This is him. And he's perfect. And he's true. And he's unchanging. He's tried, proven. Isn't that incredible? And she's got a vision that he's so beautiful that that can't be compromised. First love. He's so incredible that there's even a love that grows in my life. I defend. I stand in defense of the gospel of Christ. See, she realizes that he's so incredible and he's so sufficient in everything that just as Ephesians 5, she becomes the wife that submits completely to her husband. She loves what he loves. She rejoices in what makes him happy. Amen. This is a love story, isn't it? And there's not one like it. Because this is it. She's overwhelmed with one thing, that I am my beloved's and his desire is toward me. It's really just a life of, oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Now, you think about a husband, and when they're loved like that, can you imagine the joy that comes into his heart? Really, can you imagine? When you settle in and just receive that love and appreciate it, and the gratitude that you have for being loved like that, the rest, the peace, how that just encourages and increases, because that's exactly what it is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what really is my faith in? It's in he loves me. That's what faith is. That's what causes me to believe the word of God. Faith which worketh by love. All these verses and all these promises, they're wonderful, but they'll never work effectually until I realize that Jesus loves me. It's not a contingent thing. It's not, well, if I did this or if I did that. No, he just loves me. And what don't we want to get about that? You think about even really good parents. I'm talking about great parents in the natural. Do they ever stop loving their children? They never stop. They don't. Doesn't matter if they wind up in jail, do some just horrible things, disappointing things. It does not matter. And actually, the parents that are the, I mean, stellar ones, if there was ever a way or some time they loved them more, it's when they do get in trouble. When they do break your heart. And that's what he is. And that's what he does. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, when you really love everything about him, remember I told you there was a couple things that he was encouraging in my heart. I guess another double portion, can you imagine? But you even love his entire family. Did you hear that? You love his entire family. And see, that's been a treasure to my heart, and I saw it in my mom, and I'm so thankful that God had it from day one in the wife, in the heart of my wife, for my family. She loved him. Man, what a peace and a rest that is. When a wife loves your family. Now, there might be some of your family that's unlovable. Not here, of course. but she loves anyways. They can say some hurtful things. And see, that's what family does really good. You love them so much is when they sometimes don't act like family, but they're still family. They don't act like a child of God, but they're always and forever a child of God. It hurts the most. And God intended it to be that way. Wounded side. But brothers and sisters, when a wife comes in and embraces the dad and the mom and your brothers and sisters and all that, there's nothing sweeter than seeing that. It was like there was nothing missed. Not a beat was missed. And it really was, it was an adding to. It's like the family just got bigger, grander, sweeter, added so much more. I mean, we had a good thing going, and now it's even better. That's what the love of God does. That's who this heart that will marry him has. See, when these things happen, brothers and sisters, this is the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. When that happens, her husband's heart, it says, safely rests in her. He knows that she will do him good all the days of his life. Can you imagine that he's seeing you that way if you'll just let the grace of God work in your life? Oh, that ain't me. But it sure is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because this is glory we're talking about. The greatest of glory, the glory, the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, glory. Now, don't be fooled. Give you a little wisdom here. Don't be fooled. When you marry somebody, you marry the whole family. Yes, you do. Oh, you think you're just going to get away and oh, no, you're not. You got family. And it's precious. And it's awesome. And it's trying. And it can be sorrowful. But praise be to God, as they sang, joy cometh in the morning. But I'll tell you, it hurts my heart because I see contention in families, in in-laws. And it's a shame because the fullness of what could really be never is enjoyed. And how much the more this is true with the bridegroom. His readied wife divinely loves the groom's family. Matter of fact, brothers and sisters, she loves his body, his family, just as she loves him, the head. It's the truth. That's who she is. Because she realizes that he is altogether lovely. Now, as we wrap this up, I know you're sitting there, you're thinking, oh my goodness. I am so far from that, brother. No, Christ is in you. And remember how we started off and how we start off almost every service here. If he be for you, who could be against you? He planned and purposed this, and he said, that good work which I've begun, I'm going to perform it. I'll do it. If you let me do it, and remember, it's got to be his grace. Let God. But the only way that's going to happen, brothers and sisters, is when we settle down and start rejoicing in Christ in one another. That's it. I'm going to disappoint you. I guarantee you I will. I guarantee it will be mutual. But Christ in you never disappoints. Christ in you just draws us. We've been made one in him. It's so amazing. It's simple. It's how we win his best. Love. And God help us to adore him, to trust him, to just be thankful. And I'll tell you, when that happens, a surrender will happen in our lives that overwhelms us and transforms us. Not into somebody I never thought I could be, somebody I never even knew who I could be. And we'll end with this. Ephesians chapter 5. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's the 30th verse. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this today. Lord, I just stand in awe of you with my brothers and sisters. We're grateful to God how you love us. It's beyond words. But again, by faith, it's apprehended. Lord, help us to believe in your love. Really, help us to believe in your love to us. That it's unending. That it there's nothing that could separate us from it. It's the furthest reaching. There's no end to it. And God, it divinely wants to set us ruling and reigning jointly and glorified together with you. Now again, only love can cause us to look into the Word of God and to believe these things which you have told us. We commit it to you. We know this is your work, and we know this is your will. And Lord, we just ask that we would be vessels, God, that would be opened. Lord, take the lid off. Fill us up. Stretch the wineskin, Lord God. And may the joy unspeakable and full of glory just reign. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.